If you guys would join me in prayer, that'd be great. Father God, thank you for being able to sing songs of worship with you or to you, and just thank you for the assembly of this body of believers. And I just ask that you be with me as I speak this message, and that it would give encouragement to these your body. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So Pastor Frick, he talked to me on the phone the other day, and he made mention that if I had some type of relation with J. Vernon McGee, that you guys would be in good hands. But unfortunately, unless I have some long lost grandfather, I don't know about it. That's not the case, and you're not so lucky. But so seeing how nobody knows who I am, I thought it would be appropriate to start out as to why I'm here and kind of give a little introduction to myself. I know, is it Dean, right?
Dave
did a brief introduction, but my name is Joe McGee, and I am 37 years old. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. This is my beautiful wife, Camille. We've been married for 17 years, continuously, together, and we've just been so blessed with three wonderful children. Jade, my oldest, who's 12, Charlie, my middle, is 10, and my son, Breck, who is 8 years old. Also with us today is, I got two of my friends from Cornerstone. This is actually Jason over here is my good buddy, and then Shane is also one of our associate pastors. Is that the right title? Okay. And I'm just thankful that they're here to show support for me. I'm not sure if Shane's here to just make sure I'm not here speaking heresy or just to support a brother, but either way, I'm glad that they're here. Probably maybe the most burning question in your mind as I walked up here is, why does this guy have a silly looking handlebar mustache? And you might have been thinking that I belong to a biker gang or something like that, but that's not the case. I am actually a fireman, and this has just been my attempt to grow the stereotypical firefighter mustache. I've been a fireman now for about 14 years. I work for the Anchorage Fire Department, and the first 10 years or so as a firefighter paramedic out of Station 5 in Spinard, which is, as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of shenanigans that have gone on in that area of town. And then the last four as a driver, operator, engineer is what we call them at Station 12. And it's been a really rewarding career, and got quite a few challenges with working that job, but it's been a rewarding career. And so I just wanted to give you a brief introduction of who I am. Now, as to why I am here, is everyone familiar with who Keith Lowers is? Spoke here? Yeah. So Keith and I have been in communication quite a bit for the last sorry for the coughing. We've all been sick recently. So, Keith and I have been in regular communication together for the last year or so. He's been a great spiritual father to me in the faith. He's been a great source of wisdom and encouragement. And so, maybe for my own benefit, we have really struck off a good friendship. And I try to keep a weekly or bi-weekly communication with him. And recently, Keith had asked me something I never thought I would be asked before, which is, he asked me if I would be willing to come to this congregation and speak a message of encouragement to this church for the inevitable change in leadership that's going to happen at the lead pastor level at some point in the future. And before Keith could even finish asking me this, I said a resounding no in my heart. I mean, I gave myself all the list of reasons as to why I wouldn't do it. I get red-faced, I mumble, I speak softly, you name it. All these things were running through my mind of why I can't do it and shouldn't do it. But before, but I let him finish presenting this idea and the reasons as to why he thought it was a good idea before I informed him kind of my big issue with doing this, which is, if you know me or know my life, you would know that I don't have very many fears but one of my greatest fear in life has always been the fear of public speaking. And despite me trying to relay this to Keith, he didn't buy any of it. And so he encouraged me to pray on this. And I told him that I would out of respect for him. And as I did, the beginnings of a message started to formulate in my heart about what I would say to this congregation. Again, I'm still way off from, I wasn't planning on doing it, but this message started to formulate, and it kept growing with each day, and I couldn't really shake this thought. So this, with a series of confirmation by God, made it evident to me that regardless of what I feel comfortable with or what I think I can do, He's asked me to be obedient to speak this message, and so here I am. And I hope it blesses you guys. So just with that little background, I just, this is the first sermon or message of any kind of standing in front of people. So I just ask that you give me grace and that you pray for me as I'm up here. And I'll just trust that His power is made perfect in my weakness. And then the last thing I'll share about myself as before I move on is you'll see I have some papers here. I didn't know how to prepare for this, whether it was just notes or whatever, but I ended up writing out the entire manuscript. So if you see me reading, just know that this is not some AI-generated speech, or I didn't type into Google, what should I say? I didn't go to YouTube and find all the prominent pastors and teachers of the world to say this is my face was in Scripture, and these are my words that I believe God has given me. And so if you see me reading from this, I just ask that you kind of know that I want to stay true, and I don't want to miss some of the things, the points that I believe are given here. So if I read them to you, I'm sorry, but either way, I just don't want to miss anything. So you notice in your bulletin that I've entitled this message, God, the Author and Provider to Leaders to His Church. And I think this is an important topic because this year alone in the mainstream of Christianity, we've noticed the loss of some significant men in the church who have passed away, men like John MacArthur, Vodi Bachum, Dr. Dobson, and even leaders outside the church like Charlie Kirk and Phil Robinson have all passed away in recent months. And I think the natural response to the church is when we see high-profile leaders like this that have moved on to glory is we ask the question, who will come next to fill the shoes of these great men who God has so empowered and mightily used to direct His people? And I would say that this is not a unique question to this time in history or to this church, or as a matter of fact, throughout the Christian age, since its very inception, we've seen the perpetual loss of leaders in the church just as when we think we need them the most. From the disciples to the apostles to the apostolic fathers and so on, the rising up of new leaders has been a consistent provision to the church that Jesus has provided to His body. And one of the primary means to guide His people into all truth and knowledge of the things of God. And I think it would be best to start the sermon by looking at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. So if you would turn with me to this marvelous portion of Holy Scripture, we get an awareness by whose authority we receive leaders and their mission to the church. All right, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age. So in these verses, we have the risen Christ, whose time of humble servitude in human flesh is gone, and all sovereign authority is given over to Him This is both a bold proclamation of his deity and his authority, and on the basis of this authority, he is commissioning the 11 at this point in Matthew. And I want to make a couple observations on this. First, I believe this commission is a universal truth for all believers. It contains a general call to reach the lost souls, but in this context here in Matthew, the exalted Lord speaking directly to the 11 disciples and charging them with three things: one, to make disciples; two, to baptize; and three, to teach them. So Jesus takes his authority. He establishes the fundamental purpose of the church, commissioning the disciples to lead this cause. And as we read throughout the New Testament, we see that they are faithful to this mission and become leaders to the early church. God would use them to powerfully build the church, to baptize, and to teach. However, one by one, they would all face a martyr's death. And with the exception of John, none of them would make it to an old age. The second thing I want you to see is that God is setting up the mission and leadership within the church through his authority for the benefit of the body. And this is as a means for them to become more like Christ. You see, in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it wasn't enough to make disciples. It wasn't enough to baptize them. But teachers were needed for instruction. And this is the second point I want you to see. That can be a little bit more clearly laid out in Ephesians 4. So if you guys wouldn't mind, go over to Ephesians 4. And we're going to look at verse 11 so we can get a little bit more clarity on this point. And we're going to read Ephesians 4:11. We're going to go all the way down to verse 16. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make is that the establishment of leaders through God's authority is for the benefit of the body of believers. And in verse 11, it says this. It says he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all obtain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Question, church: who gives the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers? And it tells you here in verse 11, Jesus does. And verses 12 through 16 are telling us this is for the purpose of building the church with a faith that's built on sound doctrine and instruction to become like the Son, who himself is a standard for our spiritual maturity. And a mature church won't be carried away by every wind of doctrine, to human cunning, or fall for deceitful schemes. This is Christ's desire for his people whom he died for and who belong to him through the blood of the cross. And I want to build on that a little bit. So I apologize if I'm making you flip to the Bible, but I think it's important for us to kind of go together and see this worked out. So if you wouldn't mind, can you guys go to Acts 20, verse 28? And while you're flipping over there, I just want to kind of give you a remembrance that we're reading here in Ephesians. We just left off here in Ephesians. And this is in Acts 20. This is Paul talking to the elders in the Ephesian church. And this is what he says. Pay careful attention. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. I got a little quick. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which God has made you overseers to take care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. You see, we're the bride of Christ. We're his children, whom the God of the universe died for, and therefore, with his authority, he raises up leaders who are empowered by his Spirit and anointed with a calling to watch over the souls that belong to him. That is why you are under the leadership of pastors. Hebrews 13:17 says this. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those whom will give an account. James declares in his book that there's such a high authority to that position of a pastor or a teacher. It says, not many of you should become teachers, for they will be judged with greater strictness. What a heavy weight and responsibility it is to be a leader in Christ's church. But despite this, at all times in history of the church, leaders have been appointed by God to watch over the souls who have been entrusted to them. So God has established, he's called, he's equipped such men to feed and lead his sheep from the beginning of the church age until now. So my question goes back to the beginning of this message. Who will replace John MacArthur, Vodi Bakum, Dr. Dobson, and more specifically to this body of believers here in India, and who will fill the shoes of Truk Frick, who has been faithfully served in this congregation for all these years? Who will replace these men? And I would just like to point out that there will be no other person like them. There's only one John MacArthur, one Vodi, one Dr. Dobson, one Charlie Kirk, one Phil Robertson, one Polycarp, one Ignatius of Antioch, one Luther, one Tyndale, one C.S. Lewis, one Spurgeon. And yes, there is only one Pastor Frick. There can only be one of these men. However, God has this very amazing, unusual knack for not leading his people without a shepherd. And I think I tried to point out earlier the reasons to why they're required for us to be under their leadership so that we can grow in the knowledge of God. And so therefore, a promise from him is that we won't be without a pastor or a teacher. And if I may, I would like to show you a powerful example of how God will specifically and dramatically call someone to fill the office that he has prepared for them. And I think that there is no better person to look at than the Apostle Paul. So, well, turn with me to the left in your Bibles, and we're going to go to Acts 9. We're going to look at Acts 9, and we're going to visit here in verse 15. So while you're turning there, I'll just kind of bring context to your remembrance. So this is Saul. He's steeped in Judaism at this point. He just got done overseeing the stoning of Stephen, and he's on his way to Damascus. And as you guys remember, he was on his way to Damascus for the purpose of imprisoning the believers in the church there. And as he's on his way, he was blinded by a great light. He heard from our Lord, and he was instructed to go into Damascus where he will receive his sight. And now here in verse 15, this is the Lord answering Ananias' hesitation towards God's call for him to restore Saul's sight. And I want you to listen to how the Lord responds to Ananias about Paul and his plans for him. Verse 15 reads this. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and into the kings and to the children of Israel. Folks, that is how intent the Lord is to bring leaders to his church. He will take a murderer like Saul. He will turn his heart around on a dime. He will heal him. He will save him. He will anoint him with a calling, his spirit, and send him out on a mission declared for his life. So to focus this message a little bit more home to this congregation, I would just ask that this entire body of believers pray for the health and preservation for Pastor Frick for as long as the Lord sees fit. And when he too is called into glory, whether days from now or years from now, I would just encourage all of us to be intense prayer that God would raise up a leader, whether from within this church or from the outside, that would not replace him, but his office. Because as I've said before, there's only one Chuck Frick, and there will be no other Chuck Frick, Pastor Frick. But if this body fasts and it prays and it seeks earnestly for the Lord to provide them a new lead pastor that is qualified by the standards set forth in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, I believe God will answer that call as he has always answered that call to his church. You say, Joe, why do you so confidently say this? Without getting into any of the other litany of verses that could support this, and we even looked at one today in today's scripture reading, let's just kind of try and stay in what we've already read. Do you remember in Matthew 28:20 when I read that he will never leave you or forsake you? Do you remember in Ephesians 4 when we learned that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up the body of Christ, which is you? Do you remember in Acts 20, verse 28, when I told you that you were obtained by his own blood? And a new verse I want to bring in is Romans 8, 29, which tells us, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. On the basis of these verses and our recent identification of how God himself has established the leaders in the church for the cause of feeding his sheep, I say you're safe knowing that God will once again provide for the needs of his church right here in Indian. So take heart, be encouraged, because if this is Christ's church, just like the cross of Calvary, he will provide. He will provide a leader it needs for the purposes of conforming these people, you, into the image of his Son. And the last thing I'd like to touch on is kind of the now what. How does this church act in a season of transition? Waiting God's provisions for a new lead pastor at some point in the future. And I want to bring back up Ephesians 4. Matter of fact, can we all go back to Ephesians 4? And I think this might be the last time I have you flip. So if we go back to Ephesians 4, we're going to look at verse 12, and it's going to really kind of show you the chief role of the leader, the teacher of the church. And then I think this is going to help you give the now what. Chief role for the teacher. You ready? Here it is. To equip the saints, that is you, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. What is this building up of the body of Christ? What is it getting at here? This is not in the sense that we're adding more Christians to the body of Christ or adding more members to the church. Body of Christ here in this context is edification. It's the Greek word used for this is the phrase the building up is oikoumene, which means this, the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. So the building up of the body of Christ is actually making you more Christ-like, and when you're more Christ-like, you're simultaneously being more prepared for your ministry. Got that? So Pastor Frick's ministry is the ministry of preparing you for your ministry. No pastor or teacher should stand before you for his own glorification, but to glorify Christ and train up the people in the knowledge of God. That has been Pastor Frick's calling. This is why he's here. He has taught you. He has encouraged you. He has been building up the body of Christ. So now go walk faithfully in your ministry. You say, Joe, I don't really know what my ministry is. Well, I'll give you one. And it's the one that we all have. You know, in the beginning of this message, we looked at Matthew 28:19, and we addressed the fact that the Great Commission is a general charge for all believers to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach them. Yeah, the message of the cross does not die with you. Your neighbors and your friends who don't know Jesus, who don't know that Jesus took on flesh, is God who took on flesh, who came to the earth, lived a perfect life, holy life, and voluntarily sacrificed himself on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, according to the will of the Father, so that through his work alone you may be made righteous. If they don't know this message, they have no hope. Are you being a light to your community here in Indian? Or if you live in Anchorage or in Girdwood, are you being a light there? Are you sharing the gospel to those around you? Do your neighbors and your coworkers know of your love for Christ and the hope that is within you? I know sometimes it can be hard. I mean, I mentioned to you, I'm a fireman, and just the other day I shared the gospel with one of our respected captains who's also the president of our union. It's not easy, and it's not a joyous conversation, but they have no hope without the hope of Christ. So be bold in your faith and share the gospel. Let's go a little bit further of the mission to the church. We have a mission to the people outside the church to bring in disciples, but we also have a mission to build up the body here as believers as well, to encourage each other. Older men, are you pouring your wisdom and knowledge of the Bible and spiritual guidance from a lifetime of sanctification into younger men as Keith has done for me? Older women, how about you? Are you building up younger women in the faith, teaching and modeling for them what a godly, virtuous woman looks like? Parents, are you bringing up your children in the light of the gospel and guarding their souls against the ever-powerful presence of evil in this world, training them up in the way that they should go? Or is their iPad, television, and friends the greatest source of influence on their lives as to what is good, beautiful, and true? Younger people, are you in the Word, building on your knowledge of God so that you're able to defend the faith and understand how you're to walk in this world? Or is your youth being wasted on earthly desires like mine was? Depending on your season in life, you may not know what your calling is, but you do know what the general call is. And you know that from Scripture that every person is equipped with talents and skills and spiritual giftings to serve the body of Christ. So if you don't know what it is, I just ask that you seek from the Lord so that you too can be faithful in your calling as your pastor was to his. Whether that's a ministry of encouragement, motherhood, administration, preaching, or whatever it is, be faithful. This is how we are to act in a season of transition. You are not called to a season of idleness, but to continue on your mission that God has placed on your lives during this season, because your leader, your chief shepherd, is never removed from office. He never dies. He's never replaced. He reigns and rules forever. And because he is the head of the church, this church can still function as a mighty force here in Indian. So although you will be in a season of transition waiting God's to provide a specific leader, you are not in a season of transition regarding your mission to the world. And that work is never contingent upon a consistent leader. That work, your ministry, began the moment you were called by Jesus to be his own. So do the work that Pastor Frick all these years has faithfully equipped you to do so, regardless of whether you feel comfortable with it or whether you want to. That is how I believe that this church is to be, while they're trusting God's faithfulness to show honor to both their pastor and their Savior through this season. And I'm kind of going to go off a little script here. I didn't prepare any notes for this, but I was reading in 2 Timothy this morning, and I just saw how this is Apostle Paul was at the end of his ministry. He's fought the good fight, and he's finished the race, and now he's writing this letter to Timothy and exhorting him to carry on. And you don't have to turn with me here, because I've been making you flip through your Bibles a lot. But in chapter 2, in the first verse, he says, "You, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and that what you have heard from me in this presence of many witnesses, entrusted to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So there's this he's confirming what I'm trying to say here, is that this message that was entrusted to him and that was given to Timothy will be able, others will be able also be taught the same, and that we can continue to go. But when I had made mention that we established that the authority of leaders was established by Jesus, and we looked at how the preservation and continual provision of leaders has been a constant thing that God has done throughout the church, and then we learned that these leaders' job is to build up the ministry of the body of believers. And we addressed how to walk in our ministry. But one of the things that I think would be helpful for myself and all of us here is to know that is what Paul is trying to communicate here to Timothy. And it says this in verse 16. It says, "All scripture has been breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So the work that you do, the ministry and the work that you do, this was not a guide, a how-to guide of salvation, right? We know that it's the personal work of Jesus Christ alone and grace through faith alone and not of any works that we're saved. But we have this ministry, and how do we be effective in this ministry? And I would say that the two most important things for us as believers to be effective is to be in both deep prayer and deep reading. And that is what Timothy is what Paul is trying to communicate with Timothy here. This scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, the work of your ministry. So these are the words that I have to share for you. I hope it's blessed you, and I just thank you for the ability to bear with me as I did this, and thank you so much. I'd just like to close in prayer, if that's okay. Father God, thank you for the ability to again assemble here in this congregation, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to meet these wonderful people and be able to speak this message that's been laid on my heart. And I just ask that you give them the ability, Lord, to walk in the ministry that you've called them. You know them by name. You've equipped them with spiritual giftings and talents and skills, and I just ask that they would be faithful in this ministry that they're equipped for, and that you would preserve Pastor Frick, and you would strengthen him, and that you would just carry him to the as long as you see fit. Lord God, I just thank you again for this time, and I just ask that these body of believers be encouraged, knowing that you are the one that established the leaders in the church, and that you are the one that empowers them, and that you are the one that uses them for their own ministry, for the building up of their own ministry. And so we have faith that you will bring up a leader when the time comes that will replace this office. But we just thank you for the gift of Pastor Frick and his ministry, and thank you for that he has fought the good fight, and he will finish the race faithfully. Love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.